In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. One of the basic catechism questions, we all learned it before our first Holy Communion, is where is God? And the answer is just as simple as the question. Well, God is everywhere. He is omnipresent, we say. He abides in all things and everywhere by his presence and by his power. He dwells in a special manner, though, within the depths of a soul that is in the state of sanctifying grace. But as with every other truth of our holy Catholic faith, we must not imagine that this truth, as simple as it is, should remain a sterile idea in our minds or some sort of abstract thought with no practical application to us. This, just like any other truth that comes from the Catechism, can be and should be applied to our spiritual life. For among all the practices of perfection, of holiness, trying to strive for holiness, the saints, all of them, strongly recommend one practice. And that is the practice of the presence of God. Where is God? God is everywhere. To recall this simple truth and to practice it daily is both a check on our passions and a spur to virtue. That is true. It is firstly a check on our passions when they try to overtake us. We've all got passions. Passions, really, you know, they're an indifferent thing in themselves. They're indifferent. They're neither good nor bad in themselves. Rather, they become good or bad based on why and how you use them. Now, for example, our Lord, he had the passion of anger and showed it in the temple, driving out those buyers and the money changers and all of the rest, and it was a good reason to use it. It became, therefore, a good action, an act of virtue, or a parent trying to discipline his children ought to be angry when he disciplines them. That, too, is an act of virtue, but it's all things in moderation. It has to be under control. So the passions become good or bad based on the motives and how we use them. Now, it's said that even the pagans, if they knew that someone were watching them in their daily lives and seeing everything that they were doing, they said that many of their sins would be prevented. Seneca, he was some great, I guess, thinker in his day, a pagan though. He gave the advice to one of his friends. He said, "Keep before your mind some virtuous man, and imagine that this man is continuously watching you, and by means of this imaginary witness of your actions, you'll avoid many of your sinful actions." It's actually a really good piece of advice, particularly coming from a pagan. Now, if it's helpful for the pagans to practice that, how much more beneficial is it for us Catholics to recall to mind the presence of God, that he is again omnipresent, everywhere, and that nothing escapes his gaze. Not a single thought, not a single action, not a single omission of anything that we do escapes his eye. God knows all, he sees all, even our thoughts. Who would sin then? Putting that catechism question and answer into practice, who would sin, remembering the eyes of God are upon him, as they are at this very moment, as you sit here in this church? Who would sin, knowing that God can see and that he will one day judge what he sees? In solitude, in darkness, God is present, ever present with us. If only more of us would put this simple catechism lesson into action, how much less we would sin, how fewer things we would have to confess, and many more souls would be saved. And actually, many more souls would reach the heights of perfection. But that's so much for the negative part of this practice. It helps to avoid sin, but it also helps us to practice virtue. Sacred Scripture recommends this practice of the presence of God for us. In the book of Genesis, God says, "Walk before me and be perfect." That speaks of the presence of God. Walk in my presence and be perfect. But it also gives many examples of people who actually walked in the presence of God. There was Noah, who it says in Scripture, walked with God and was perfect. Then there was Abraham. King David, when he wrote the Psalms, he said on one occasion, he said, "I set the Lord always in my sight, for he is at my right hand." And somewhere else in the Psalms, he said, "My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the snare." Now, the natural result, if you put this into practice, is progress in virtue. That goes without saying. One author writes, and this is a quote from him, "Everything is so much more perfect as it approaches near to the source of its being." Now follow me. "The water is clearest, which is drawn at the fountainhead. That heat is the most intense, which is nearest the fire. And so the closer our union with God, the more do we advance in perfection." St. Bonaventure says that to employ ourselves continually in the exercise of the presence of God is to begin in this life to enjoy the felicity of the blessed in the next. And Rodriguez, he was a very good spiritual author. I recommend him if you ever come across his spiritual books. Rodriguez is his last name. He says, "A horse without a bridle casts himself headlong over a precipice, and a ship without a rudder cannot but perish. And a man who has not the bridle of God's presence and is not governed by his fear runs headlong to his own destruction and abandons himself to all his irregular passions." And then to finish with the quotation part of my sermon, our Lord once showed himself to St. Catherine of Siena and said, "Remember me always, and I shall remember you. Perform all your actions as if you saw me present, and I shall see to it that you make progress in perfection." So, finally then, how do we practice the presence of God? Well, some of the saints imagined that God was walking at their side. Or some of them would place themselves in spirit with the shepherds on Christmas night in Bethlehem, adoring their newborn king and Messiah. Others will put themselves with Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross and see in their mind, their imagination, see and hear all that is going on. This, however, this is a good way to put yourself in the presence of God, but it only goes so far in this sense that it's a good way to start your prayers, for example, to put yourself in those scenes or imagine our Lord at your side. It's a good way to prepare yourself for prayer, particularly for meditation. But Rodriguez, again, to quote him, he gives very practical advice, and he says, "Such sensible representations as I just spoke about, for the ordinary person, do nothing else but tire the mind and engage the head." And that's true. It tires the mind, and that is something that we have to look out for. Not to stress the mind, because that just causes stress. The most practical way to practice the presence of God is as follows. First of all, to frequently make a simple act of faith. that God is actually and really present wherever you are and wherever you are not, that He is present. A simple act of faith. Secondly, by the frequent use of ejaculatory prayers, it's good to memorize many of those. My sweetest Jesus, be not my judge, but my Savior. Or again, another indulgence one, I deserve to suffer these things, Lord, because I have sinned. Or the simple ones like Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Repeating those frequently in the day keeps you in the presence of Almighty God. And a good practical way to remind yourself of the presence of God, fill your home with religious articles. Keep them in your car, a rosary, a holy card on your dashboard, or some religious medal hanging from your mirror. All reminds you of the presence of God. But going back to those ejaculatory prayers, invent your own. Don't feel obliged to stick to the ordinary ones that everyone knows. Invent your own according to your needs. Maybe you're a worrier, and so you have to do the acts of confidence. Maybe you're prideful, and you should be making acts of humility through the day. Or maybe you're an angry person, and you should be praying for meekness. But invent your own prayers to our Lord. Thirdly, by seeing God's providence in events and His care over creatures. Some night, just sit out on the porch, a quiet night, and look up into the sky and see the stars. Granted, you don't get too many stars that you can see when you're around a big city. It's always impressive when you go out into the country, though, and see that how many stars there are. But look up to them and begin to think of the providence of God who ordered it so perfectly that not a single star runs into another. Or the sun and the moon, perfect coordination, all by the providence of God. Or how He cares for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and how He numbers the hair of your head, and all of the other scripture verses like that. And the fourth way and final way to practice the presence of God is by sanctifying your daily actions and doing them for God. It's as simple as making your morning offering first thing when you get up. It's as simple as before you begin an important work that you've got going on, asking our Lord's help, offering it up to God. Some of the saints would say a Hail Mary at the beginning of each hour. Others will say a prayer before each class if you be a student. But pray throughout the day and offer your actions to God. In this way, you walk in His presence and will avoid many a sin and practice many a virtue. But I will conclude with one more quote, if you bear with me. A note of encouragement, after all, because this practice of the presence of God, it doesn't come easily. Like, as with anything else that's important, you have to work at it. And you will fail, and then you will rise again. It won't come right away, but you have to resist discouragement. Keep trying to practice the presence of God. So here's the quote. St. Teresa of Avila, she says, "Think you that it is a small thing to have such a friend at your side as God? Believe me, do all you can to live in the company of such an excellent friend. If you have not succeeded in this practice in a year, then take two or more and regret not the time so employed." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.